This is Troy Wagner.
This is Eric Miller.
We are
Ravers for Recovery.
And if you're listening to this,
so are you.
How was your day?
How was your week?
We want to hear from you. Reach out to us by email, info@raversforrecovery.org. And go ahead and connect with others in recovery by joining our Facebook page. And always stay up to date with the latest news by visiting our website, www.raversforrecovery.org.
And now, join us for this week's podcast.
This is Troy Wagner, and today we are speaking with Pat Ochoa out of California. Pat Ochoa is the creator with two of his friends of Insomniac Consciousness Group. And what Insomniac Consciousness Group, those are the clean and sober tents at the largest music festivals here in the U.S., such as Countdown, Electric Daisy Carnival, Beyond Wonderland, Nocturnal Wonderland. In my eyes, he is a recovery superhero. So how are you today, Pat?
I'm doing great. I appreciate the opportunity to be on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for coming on this podcast. Personally, this is very, very special to me, this episode, because back when I was using, living there in Vegas, I was listening to the, not Night Owl Radio, but the other podcast by Insomniac, and they were really talking about the letter, you know, what each letter of PLUR means, and they had interviewed you when they were talking about the letter R, as in respect our bodies, you know, so it's awesome to have you.
Yeah, I remember the interview.
Awesome to have you on here.
Yeah, thanks, brother.
So, how long do you have in recovery right now?
I've been sober over 17 years.
17 years, incredible.
Yeah, one day at a time, I'll tell you.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I almost have a year coming up here in less than a month.
Dude, awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. So Harmonium, you run Harmonium as well, correct?
Yeah, so Harmonium Harmonium came out of the creation of Consciousness Group, and then we reached out to, Patrick Whalen. He was doing sober tents at Bonnaroo, and that's kind of how the nonprofit Harmonium came into existence.
Awesome. And what shows does Harmonium do?
We do over 25 music festivals a year, from Bonnaroo to Lollapalooza, Outside Lands, Austin City Limits, Governor's Ball, Lock-In, just to name a few, and then all the Insomniac festivals as well.
So pretty much all of them that we see at the music festivals are done by Harmonium.
I wouldn't say all of them, but yeah, a lot of the big names we have, we stack volunteers for.
And so what y'all do is you create names that are relatable to the festival that, you know, to the festival that you're at, such as, let's see, Outside Lands would be Sober Lands, and Insomniac Consciousness, I guess that's at about five festivals.
Well, Consciousness Group started when, get into the history a little bit about, in recovery, I had two kids that I mentored. You know, they were struggling. They were going to raves in Los Angeles, Q Brickle and Brad Waldo, and they were going to raves in Los Angeles just about every night, and we're really struggling, and they came out of a rave, you know, at 2 or 3 in the morning, whatever time that was, and they met another sober guy, and they basically had like a spontaneous support group 12-stylish meeting, you know, between the three of them. And because of my history in the rave scene in Los Angeles from the beginning days, came to me thinking that it'd be a cool idea to have raves at meetings and if I would help them. And, you know, just right away, I wasn't, oh, yeah, that'd be great. Let's do that. Right. You know, I just was like, yeah, well, we'll see how that goes. Mm. And then Q's dad, Sean Brickle, had reached out to me and really wanted to help his son, you know, get something like this going, and asked if I would be of service to his son. You know, at that point, you know, I bought in a little bit more. And so I reached out to Pasquale, mm-hmm. You know, who I had had a relationship with back from the early 90s. And, you know, the two of us got our minds together real quick, and he wanted to create his own brand for the Sober Tent.
Okay.
And so me and him came up with a consciousness group for Insomniac, and he just wanted that to be his own brand. And right after the first Insomniac Festival we did, which was Nocturnal, which was funny because we had one tent, there was four of us, Sean, Q, Brad, and me. We don't think we had one person come see what we were about, but it was just a white tent with a white light, two tables and four chairs, and that was about it, the very first one. And we had gone out to Bonnaroo. At that time, we were going out there to meet Patrick Whalen. He had been doing the Sober Yellow Balloon meetings, yep, at Bonnaroo for, you know, years and years. I don't know the exact amount of years, but a lot of years. Mm-hmm. And we went to Bonnaroo, and that was the first year that they had given him a tent for his sober meetings. And I think there was, you know, I think there was like, I want to say at least 50 people in the meetings at Bonnaroo.
Wow.
And so out of that first meeting, you know, we created Harmonium, which was a nonprofit, which at least Patrick, Sean, Q, and I are on the board with some other board members. But yeah, so that's how that all started. And all the individual festivals have their own individual names for their own brand, personal brand.
That's huge, 50 people. Now, it's very important, you know, for us to reiterate that these are not related to AA or NA or CA, MA, any of the 12-step groups. So what basically are the meeting formats at during these meetings at the festivals?
Yeah, so, you know, we don't align ourselves with any 12-step fellowship. For one, as a violation of their traditions. Mm-hmm. Another reason is that we don't want to attach ourselves to one and be, you know, exclude anyone from the tent. You know, we have a lot of people that come to us who, you know, are what, you know, that people call straight edge. We have people that come that have never, you know, drank and used, or, you know, they like to be around like-minded folks. And so we're really open to anyone and everyone. The format of the meetings, you know, people identify themselves as clean and sober, okay, you know, get Insomniac, clean and sober ravers, or clean and sober bass heads, or, you know, whatever. So those two pretty much are the main ones. And then that's how they introduce themselves, and people come and talk about, you know, their struggles they're having. They talk about the gratitude for the tent. They talk about their love for the music.
Awesome.
You know, and our, you know, what happens is a lot of people come by the tent. You know, we offer candy, and consciousness group, the tent, all the tapestries and everything has been donated by volunteers over the past years. So everyone's left their imprint, and we give out candy, and people come by the tent. You know, they usually want to buy the tapestries, but we don't sell them. And then, which is good, because then it engages them in conversation. They ask for candy. We give them free candy. We ask them to tell us a secret or a joke, or donate to the nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is that, you know, usually sometimes they'll tell us secrets, and then that opens us up to tell them the secret. And then it can get, you know, there's conversation, there's connection going on, you know, and then they'll be like, oh my God, my friend, you know, my friend has 90 days. She needs to be with you guys. Mm. And then she brings her friend on over. And you know, a lot of times you get people that are struggling come by, and, you know, I have 60 days. And or people like, my therapist knew I was coming here and knew you guys existed. So,
oh, wow.
Told me to come visit with you guys.
Wow. What incredible stories. That's awesome. It's really awesome. Yeah. It's really awesome that you guys are open, you know, to the sober curious and It's once I started looking into all of this. So I heard your interview, and you were at Electric Daisy Carnival during that interview. It got me really interested in looking into seeing how many people go to these festivals that do stay clean and sober, that don't need the alcohol or drugs, you know. And I do have to admit, for me, I have not yet been to a music festival while I've been clean and sober. You know, my last one was Electric Daisy Carnival 2018, and I wasn't clean nor sober there. But but there's a lot of people, yeah, that go.
There are a lot of people, and I mean, depending, you know, obviously EDC is a bigger festival, so the meetings are going to be bigger. You know, let's say EDC, I think we had 50 people in our meetings. And then a lot of people that are new come. I can tell you a pretty cool story that happened at EDC you might like to hear.
Of course.
This guy kept coming to the table every year. He'd been coming for 3 years, and he would always come. He'd get to the festival, and he'd come, and he was high every time. I mean, you could just see his eyes rolling and sucking on his lip, and but he would always come. I remember him every year, and we started to build a relationship, and he'd get candy, and we'd have some in-depth talks, and then he'd go about his business, and he'd go do his deal. And one year he showed up, and he asked, and he was looking for Pat, and I had been gone, and I came back. He was waiting, and he came by, and he said, "Can I tell you my story?" And I said, "Yeah, absolutely, tell me your story. I'm here." And so I'm standing there at EDC, 145,000 people. The bass is just bumping so hard. You could feel it across the whole speedway. It's starting to get dark, and he starts to tell me that every year I would come by the tent because you guys were safe and always had a positive attitude, and you guys were always an example of PLUR, and I just always wanted to be around you guys. Though I was getting high and getting loaded, you guys were always so kind and welcoming to me. And he said, last year, you know, I came to see you guys, and when I left, I was arrested. Oh, wow. And I was arrested for selling ecstasy to an undercover cop. And I was sitting in jail, and I reflected back at all the years of Consciousness Group at EDC and me going to visit with you guys. And I thought that if those guys could stay sober and still have the love for the music and continue to give back to the music, that maybe one day, you know, when I get out, I'll be able to be sober and to, you know, be able to help people. And so he said, "I just wanted to come tell you my story and give you my 1 year chip and thanks for my clean time." So, yeah, man, it's just powerful things like that, you know, continually happen. You know, a lot of people are blown away just by the fact that we're clean and sober in the middle of just the chaos. And then you get the people that come by too that are like, "You lame," you know, and still say some things like that. And you know, and that's fine. You know, I mean,
they just don't understand it.
Where people are at on their journey.
Yeah, they just don't understand it. And who knows, you know, in future years, those people might be the ones that need the help and the support that you guys offer.
Absolutely.
You know, let's see. So I'm looking over the questions right here. As part of your own personal recovery, what do you think has been the most challenging part?
My own personal recovery, what's the most challenging part? You know, I mean, I'd have to say relationships. You know, I believe that I suffer from a spiritual malady, which is, you know, a spiritual disconnect. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I think looking back on my life, like I always felt disconnected. You know, I never really fit. I never was a part of. I always felt like I was on the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. Since I was a little kid. And I remember my grandma taking me to church, and my grandma would get up and the music would be going, and it'd be, you know, the whole place would be on fire. Like a lot of energy, and my grandma would be dancing around, and I'd be listening to the same thing, wondering, like, why aren't I feeling like that? Why is there something wrong with me? I just didn't connect. And so, you know, drugs and alcohol really gave me that sense of connection, gave me that sense of, connection to others, connection to spirit, anything spiritual, you know. I thumbprinted Crystal Wash LSD when Jerry Garcia died, and I had the most spiritual experience that I ever had, 59 days, you know. And And so, like, I had those experiences, but when the drugs and alcohol wore off, I was still left there disconnected, which, you know, continued the addiction and continued the cycle. And so I get sober, and, you know, and through my, you know, my addiction, you know, there was a lot of hurt, a lot of trauma, a lot of physical and sexual abuse, a lot of stuff that happened to me that really justified that disconnect, that I wasn't good enough, that I wasn't lovable. So, you know, when I got clean and sober, I came in with that, you know, with that unlovable, not worthy, mm-hmm. Not good enough character that had justified reason. And so I had built all these walls and these barriers that kept people away, which kept me safe for a long, long time. But when I got sober and I start to be involved and I start to have relationships with people and friendships and I still have all these barriers, what happens is that I push people away, and then people leave, and then I'm wondering why are they leaving? And so it's been a process of learning, like, what those barriers are, you know, and creating, you know, new belief systems about myself, you know, but wanting to be loved so bad, and then getting in, you know, involved in a friendship or a relationship and that goes away, you know, has been super painful. So I'd probably say that relationships and friendships have been, you know, the hardest thing for me in my recovery the last 17 years.
Definitely. That's you know, that's a hard part for everybody, I believe. That's why, you know, I was speaking to Chris Marshall of Sands Bar, and he is a therapist as well for mental health, you know, for people with addiction and mental health. And he said that's been the biggest issue of people relapsing, going back out and looking for that social connection, you know. So what he does is creates those clean and sober places for people to go to, you know, and you guys are doing that with the festival scene, showing that it is possible to go and enjoy the, you know, and still be one of, even, you know. Really awesome. Appreciate what you guys do. Everything. Let's see. So if there is a message that you would like to tell to someone who may be listening to this that is currently struggling with addiction or alcoholism, what would you like to tell them?
Man, that's a great question. You know, it's, you know, I hear the question, and then I put myself back at, like, when I was struggling, and what would I want to hear, you know? Mm-hmm. And my biggest, you know, my biggest message is that you're, you know, if you're struggling right now, listen to this, like, you're not alone. You know, I know for myself, like, I've been in the place, you know, when I got clean and sober, I was on Skid Row, downtown LA. I'd been there for a year and a half. I pushed everyone away in my life. Nobody wanted to be around me. Everyone had just kind of given up on me. You know, I kept making promises and letting people down, and I was full of shame and guilt. I was absolutely terrified. I was just so alone. And my message is that you're not alone, that there's hope. You know, there's, professionally, I do, interventions, and I've been counseling for 16 and a half years. I'm currently, you know, work for a solid treatment center out of Oregon called Sober Living Oregon. We provide structured sober living and outpatient PHP IOP services. And like, that's our foundation. Our foundation is just love, you know, and hope for the whole human being, like, you know, treating the whole person, and you're not alone, and you're loved and you're wanted, and you know, teaching and building of skills in order for us to, you know, walk the path of recovery. Mm-hmm. But my main message is you're not alone. You know, you're feels that way now, but there's so many people, and, you know, the first step is just ask for help. As soon as I asked for help, the doors opened, and so many people just came in and just really walked me through, I wanted to say hell, you know, right to a place of freedom. And my question that I asked that person is, how free do you want to be?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was difficult asking for help. I know that, you know.
Yeah.
Definitely difficult. Definitely. Let's see. So Sober Living House, Sober Living Oregon, that began this last year.
Well, what began last year?
Did you guys start creating the sober living?
So we've been doing structured sober living for 9 years.
Oh wow! Okay.
A little over a year ago, we opened up an outpatient does PHP IOP services. So we provide, you know, groups, individual counseling, therapy, psychiatry, you know, see a doctor. We provide, actually not the psychiatry, but the doctor, an addiction specialist doctor. And we just recovery focused and a lot of awesome opportunities, a lot of good people.
And if someone wants, to reach out and get more information about that, how would they go about doing that?
The best way to do it is just to give me a call directly, 949-637-5499. That's my personal cell phone. Call me anytime. I'll go above and beyond to help anyone, anywhere. I live in California, but go above and beyond. I flew to Houston, Texas, try to get a girl out of crack motel, willing to do whatever I have to in order to save people's lives. So that's 949-637-5499.
That is amazing that you would give your number to people. That's awesome. That's what we have to do. That's what we have to do, though, you know. My mind still hasn't, I don't know. Just being shy of a year, you know. I don't know how long did it take before you were able to start helping other people out? Was it whenever you did the steps, or?
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you, man, a year is huge. You know, my biggest critic is myself, right?
Yeah,
like, you know, I should be somewhere
with me
else,
too.
You know, hey, dude, a year is huge, brother. Like, you know, I have that most respect for you. You know, one day at a time, dude, we just keep trudging. And, I had an old timer tell me once, he said, it takes you a year to get your marbles back and 5 to learn how to play with them. You know, and it's true. Like, I was terrified. I was scared. I was paranoid. People were still after me at a year of sobriety.
Yeah.
I didn't feel good enough. You know, but at 6 months of sobriety I had the guy ask me for help. And from that point, you know, I really caught fire and for recovery and just been on a mission. You know, I was taught early on that anytime I'm asked to do anything in recovery, the answer is yes. Because that's where God wants me to be, you know. And I don't know, you know, you reached out to do this podcast. I don't know, you know, God has a purpose for me and you both through this podcast. Mm-hmm. And we don't know who it's going to touch, who's going to hear it, but someone's got to hear it. The message is going to get to someone. And so I say yes, and my life opens up. And the more I say yes to be in a service to helping others, life gets really, 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 really big. And so, you know, it's transformed into, you know, how can I be of service to my community? You know,
yes.
Are you putting your shopping cart back, you know, where you got it? Or are you just leaving it by the car? You know, are you holding the door open for the lady as she's coming out? You know, simple little things like that.
So everything is a learning experience. And no matter how far along we are, we should always give ourselves credit and be grateful for how long we have been clean and sober. And just because we might not be knowing that we're helping people, we might be helping them without even knowing. As long as I guess we're following and doing the right thing, then we'll recover. Yes.
Yep, absolutely. Keep a smile on your face and you never know the impact a smile has on another human being.
Awesome. I do appreciate you coming on the podcast, and, you know, it's, again, amazing, amazing to talk to you.
Yeah, and, thank you so much.
You know, you're right there was for part of my, that's part of the reason why I got clean, listening to that interview while you're at EDC, so that's so awesome that you did that, and now I'm actually speaking to you. It's amazing. But yeah, anything else you'd like to share before we go ahead and say goodbye for now?
I think that's it. Just want to say peace out, much love, peace, love, respect, unity. It's all.
Awesome, brother. I appreciate you so much. And you've been listening to Pat Ochoa with the Insomniac Consciousness Group. Thank you. Wow, that was an awesome interview. So grateful to have had the opportunity to speak to Pat Ochoa. I did sound a little nervous during that interview, and the reason being is because I was nervous during the interview. You know, it's such an awesome interview that I first heard this time last year, and really put in motion this idea of creating Ravers for Recovery. So with the listeners here, I do want to share that interview that I first heard back in January of 2018.
Respect is super important. I mean, it's the last letter. It's like the anchor in rave culture. And again, like peace and love and unity, respect can take on so many different forms.
So I got to talk to the Consciousness Group team in Vegas, and what a just really solid, real group of people these guys are. And the service they do at the shows is so important. I mean, they're basically there to listen to people and hear their stories and help them if they can, or just simply provide like a decompression space from the craziness that is the festival.
Yeah, it's amazing to see how far they've come since the first time we met them in 2013 at Escape.
Yeah, that first show, there was hardly anybody rolling through their tent. And now, if you look at Vegas, I mean, it was popping off. Like, it was busy.
That leaves us with the last and final letter of PLUR, R, which obviously stands for respect. It's the final pillar of PLUR. We spoke with the Consciousness Group, who really emphasized the idea of respecting your mind and your body.
This is Wide Awake Stories.
Cool, so I'm sitting here with the Consciousness Group, and why don't you guys introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Q Brickle with Consciousness Group.
Pat Ochoa.
My name's Alan T.
Can you tell me a little bit about what Consciousness Group is all about, why you guys are here, and what you're doing?
Yeah, Consciousness Group is a group of clean and sober music fans that provide a safe place for people to come, get away from all the craziness of the festival, find some like-minded folks who are choosing to do this thing clean and sober. We provide meetings for people who are in recovery or struggling to find traction in what could otherwise be a slippery slope. And we make sure that no matter what someone's life decision is out here, that they feel respected and loved.
Is there kind of one story, like personal story, that's kind of hit home with a headliner that's come through that kind of, you know, falls into this respect thing, that maybe their story just resonated with you guys a lot?
We had a young man come up to us at one of these festivals one time, and he walked up and he's talking to us and he's telling us how he's high on love, and we're looking at him like, man, like, I've been high on a lot of things. I don't know about love though, you know? And he asks if he can come in the tent. He asks if he can rest for a while. We say, absolutely, come on in. He ends up falling asleep in the tent. And the next day we come in and he's still just asleep on the floor. It's one of the festivals that allows camping. And we pull him up into a chair for one of the meetings, and for one of our support group meetings. And he's standing there and he's sitting there. And at first we all kind of thought he was kind of just dozing off still. And I kept looking over at him, and I realized slowly but surely he's nodding his head and he's picking up what it is that we're saying. And he's slowly starting to listen. And after the meeting, he kind of starts talking to some of us and says, hey, like, I don't know if this is the life I want to live anymore. I really like some of the stuff y'all said. Would you be able to help me out? Would you be able to talk to me? And we got him linked up with some other people. And he came back a year later for one day of the festival, just one day of the festival. And he came walking up, and it was completely a different person. It was like seeing the same thing, but a completely different person. And he walks up, and he says, I bought a ticket to this festival just for today to come in and say thank you because I've got 1 year sober today. And the amount of respect that goes into something like that, for him to pick up our message, because we didn't judge him. We would never judge somebody for coming in here for what it is that they want or what it is they think they might need. And the fact that we were able to love him enough to do that radically changed this man's life.
It's a great story, man. I mean, are you constantly kind of shocked at every show, like whether it's an Insomniac event or just by doing what you do? I mean, do you kind of probably have those stories on a regular basis, huh?
Every show we do, I walk away in awe. every single time we do an event, no matter where we are in the country, I walk out of here with a new experience. And because we really never know how many lives we're going to affect by doing this stuff.
Yeah, we're always honored, first and foremost, to be out here and to be given a position to come out here and the privilege to be of service to this community. Harmonium, the nonprofit that stands behind Consciousness Group, we do a lot of different shows all over the country. And by far and away, Insomniac shows tend to be the most profound for us because this community is founded on this Plur idea. And they respond so well to us. I mean, they respond so incredibly well. And even if they don't buy what it is we're trying to give them, or even if they don't fall in line with our ideals, they respect us and they love us and they have this unity with us enough to walk away and say, like, that's a really cool thing you guys are doing.
It's like, how does it help you guys on a personal level? Like, you're here helping everybody else, but what do you get out of this?
So, I mean, I think about where I was 30 minutes ago, you know, listening to Doc Martin, one of my favorite DJs of all time, and I'm up front, and I got my eyes closed, and I'm dancing, and I open my eyes, and there's this young guy dancing, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and he big smile on his face, and he gave me a big hug, and he thanked me for talking to him yesterday. You know, I don't know the impact that I have on others, but I know the impact that that kid had on my life in that moment. You know, I felt loved, I felt respected, I felt a part of, you know, and to get the opportunity to be of service to another human being, for me, you know, when my spirit connects with someone else's spirit, like the power of that is healing. It heals me, you know, it heals the wounds for me on the inside, you know, the wounds of my perception of my own life, of the hurts and the stuff in my life, you know, it heals those wounds, you know, for me, I mean, it's far more greater sometimes, I think, for me than the impact I have on other people.
Wide awake.
Now you can see why I was so excited to have Pat Ochoa on the Ravers for Recovery podcast. All right, guys, that's it for today.